Hello and welcome to another What's Current podcast, and I'm joined today by my co-host Andy Duffin, and also we have got Brendan from Chintz. So Brendan, thanks for coming, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no worries, yeah,
glad to be here. Before this, we've had a bit of a run around, we've got to admit, getting everything set up, but we're here in our Bristol training centre.
A little technical issues.
It's all fine, we're chilled. What else would we want to be doing on a Tuesday late afternoon? Yeah, so Brendan, just as an introduction, tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do at Chintz, and for those listeners or watchers that don't know, what Chintz actually do.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm an apprentice served electrician, did my apprenticeship over in Ireland. Came over here when I was 21, so only a few years ago. And I was on the tools for, you know, quite a long time. I've worked on commercial properties, multi-residential, residential, factories. So I've been in good, you know, variety of environments on the tools. Then I decided to come off the tools and get into some kind of a sales role. I started with Schneider in the power team, low voltage power team. So I was with them for 5.5 years. Then I moved over to Haeger. Again, I was in the projects team with Haeger, so looking after large contractors around the sort of East Anglian across to Oxford region. Most of the projects were in London, a couple in Birmingham. After 8 years, I decided to have a change, and Chintz looked very attractive, in a way as kind of the underdog of the industry these days. But moving on to Chintz Europe, UK, they've actually been in the UK for 20 years, which is surprising.
Yeah, I agree with that, yeah.
Because they're kind of under the radar. Now, the reason they're under the radar is they were mainly selling into OEMs. So we have our products in telecommunication racks. British Gas use our products. Most car charging companies will have our B-type or CBO installed. So there's a lot of equipment under the radar. Generator companies use our ATSs.
Okay.
So I've come in, I've only been with the company since the end of July, so it's quite a new venture for me. So I've come in as National Specification Manager. Now that role, you know, you can label roles, but it is going to develop, and it's really more of a project specification manager. So I'm going around meeting consultants, main contractors, large M&Es, spreading the word really to say, look, Chintz is in the UK. We've got panel boards, we've got distribution boards, metering, consumer units, wiring accessories. We have a vast array of products. And we also have an industrial offer, so push buttons, contactors, starters, soft starters, DOLs. So the Chintz shield bit, Chintz is anything that is actually made in one of the Chintz factories over in China, and we have about 6 other factories worldwide as well, so it's not all just manufactured in China. And shield is anything that is manufactured specifically for the UK market.
Right, kind of a new one.
So yeah, so there's a double would product offer.
Would that be more bespoke products?
Now, like to give you an example of Shield, so all the metal work for the panel boards are made up in Manchester under the Shield brand.
Right.
We use Rayleigh metering, plug and play, the same as some of our competitors. That's marked as Shield, branded as Shield. So it's just a different branding opposed to the Chintz. So moving on to Chintz Group. So not a lot of people know that Chintz is actually third largest in the world. They turned over $25 billion last year. So they sit under Schneider ABB, then Chintz.
Yeah.
So most of the revenue comes from transmission and medium voltage, low voltage distribution. They've also heavily invested in renewables. So they actually have a green energy side, which looks after major solar farms. wind energy, all that sort of renewable energy. They also are working with infrastructure in developing countries. This is where like there'll be a power station, transmission out on high voltage, then distribution medium voltage and low voltage.
Yeah. So you mentioned there that your products go from fuse boards to circuit breakers, solar equipment and solar protective devices, for argument's sake. So how do these like manufacturers, devices that you talk about help, you know, electricians, engineers face difficulties? How do they, you know, what's we spoke about them, so to speak?
Yeah, well, some of the, the first thing to say about Chint is that it's a Chinese manufacturer that manufactures for China and Asia. Right. So it's not a Chinese manufacturer that is just manufacturing for the UK. Yeah. So the quality is very, very high. Mm. We pump out 3 million poles a day. So the quantity is huge.
Yeah.
So the price point is very competitive when we bring it across to the UK because of the quantities that we're manufacturing without losing quality. So some of the sort of new products that we have coming through the forefront, single mods SPD in our consumer units, which is actually designed to go directly on the buzz bar, so we don't have to now have an SPD consumer unit, which reduces the amount of stock that we have to hold and the choices of boards. So anybody can now just buy a main switch board or a split RCD board and install a little kit.
I think that has, and obviously having been there, done it, got the t-shirt as a Sparky, which is good that you're in this, you've seen that world and now you're in this world and obviously worked at other places. I think you'll have that head on, right, you, Brendan, where you're thinking, what does the installer need? And us as ex-Sparkies as well, we still call ourselves Sparkies sometimes, depends who's asking. We'll say, you know, I need to make my life like a little bit more installer friendly, don't we? So single mods, reducing that space, like you say, not having an extra enclosure, is all how beneficial for the installer.
That's it, it makes it a lot more flexible when you're trying to choose products. You know?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and I think, like say, Chint get that feedback from installers with that usual kit and say, look, can you do this, can you do that?
Yes,
and you must have, you're a massive company, so an R&D team would be developing this stuff all the time, wouldn't they?
Well,
unbelievable.
Chint Group actually put back in about 5-6% of turnover back into R&D.
Yeah.
And we don't only have an R&D factory in China, but we have 4 worldwide. So we're looking at different areas, getting different ideas, looking at different markets so that we can develop products for the world rather than just one country.
Yeah.
I was gonna say something there, I've lost my train there.
I'll give you a question. What I was gonna say is I think actually, you know, we speak to a lot of manufacturers and sometimes that I almost say that sometimes with a sense of shame about the Chinese market, but actually the Chinese are producing, they're forefront in innovation and products. We always think cheap and cheerful, but you know, when we're dealing with safety and you know, electrical products, that it can't be bypassed, can it? There's not a cheap alternative. They still go through rigorous tests and type tested and product standards still apply.
So it's
a bit of a myth really that everything we get from China is gonna break within 5 minutes, so you must see this firsthand.
Well, one of the first questions that, you know, when I go into an old contact of mine, they'll say like, oh, China. And then all I do is like, look at their laptop, look at their phone, anything in their premises.
Unfortunately, the UK doesn't produce as much as what it used to. That's a harsh reality of the world we live in now, isn't it? Really?
But the one thing about Chint being manufacturing for China and for Asia is that some of the regulations are actually tougher for those markets than for the UK. So we'll develop like a miniature circuit breaker, and then that will be tested for maybe 140 countries, because we're in 140 countries worldwide.
Wow.
So it'll be tested to all the American standards, the UK standards, European standards, African, and Asia. And the one product will be tested to cover all those standards.
Right.
So it's not just being tested to one standard.
Yeah.
And some of those standards will be above the UK. So sometimes you get a better product for the same money, you know.
And some of those industries you mentioned that Chint are working in, you know, when you think about transmission and generation and some of the big boy stuff, let's call it. You know, that's got to be safety critical, hasn't it? You know, that
absolutely.
Because especially if you're working in developing countries, which is great to hear, that you might be starting from the ground up where they haven't got the kind of supplies that we have in the UK or we're used to in Europe.
No, they won't have the expertise in the countries. So we're able to bring that expertise to them.
That's amazing.
Like the good thing about UK, Chint UK, is that we actually have access to all of these products. Although we don't market them at the moment in the UK, the plan is, you know, to grow the Chint UK sales.
Yeah.
Part of my personal sort of planning within the company is to move into new verticals. So to come out of the shadows and actually work in main contractor buildings.
Well, start challenging the Hagers, the Schneiders.
Yeah, one of the most recent successes has been on Berkeley Homes jobs down in London. So we've actually had approval from Sweco, a very large consultant in London, and Berkeley Homes to be installed in Kidbrook Village and Plumstead Village down in London. Okay. And we've had orders off the back of it already.
Fantastic.
So we're slowly getting out there.
Chipping away, are you?
Yeah. And like that's to get approval on those projects is fabulous.
I'll definitely be
riding on that wave, you know.
Yeah.
Like we've also got offers that are very suitable for schools, small commercials, small industrials.
Yeah.
At the moment, the panel boards only go up to 400 amps, but we're increasing that to 630. And we've got 250 amp and 125 amp distribution boards, all third party type tested.
I think obviously we've worked with you guys quite a lot, you know, Andy and Paul on the shows we've
met before
and had some fun with those guys, and obviously seen the product range you've got. But being honest, is that, like, you know, I've been off the tools a fair few years now, it's not a product I ever remember actually fitting. I think I've come across them before, but like you say, if you've been under the radar for a while, you know, where in my time of working sort of in the domestic market, it was very much specs like Crabtree or whatever it may be, you had to be consuming it, but I don't remember installing many chins. I maybe have come across some more in industrial, I would have thought, in my time, if I stretch my memory back. But it's interesting to say that you want to emerge back into that market again.
No, absolutely. Like, I'm the same. Being an installer, I'd never installed the Chint product, you know. But after following them on LinkedIn and some social media sites for over 2 years, it sort of sparked my interest, you know, to come and work with them.
I'm going to mention a word about that you probably may not like, sustainability. So how do, like, Chint work themselves to maintain sustainability, especially, like, we've got that race to net zero, so how do you place yourself in the market? Yeah.
Well, we've actually got some products that I bring around on the specify stands to show consultants. So one of the MCBs that we have is manufactured in a factory over in Shanghai with solar on the roof. It's all fully robotic. It runs in the dark. There's no manned facilities for people. There is kitchen facilities, but they're not manned. And it's been third-party verified zero carbon.
Wow. Fantastic.
At manufacture.
Yeah.
So then it's just the shipping everybody else.
Of course.
And the logistics.
Oh, there's your sustainability right there.
It's
that word that, you know, it's a big buzzword, isn't it, in the industry, and all contractors have to deal with their waste.
No, absolutely.
Every company's got to be sustainability now. Is that...
Definitely. That's the way it's being led, isn't it?
And we're working on, one-use plastics, getting rid of those, using some more sort of perishable materials for bagging screws and little accessories that still need to be bagged,
yeah.
But we're just sourcing other materials to bag them in. Yeah.
Packaging's one for me, you know. You've all had this. I mean, I'm getting that many Amazon parcels at the minute that my wife keeps ordering, and they're coming boxes that are like,
oh no, a little tiny product in a huge box.
So I think, you know, a lot of manufacturers have got to start thinking seriously about this stuff, hasn't they? Yeah, does it need to be packaged in such a way?
I mean, you think of a fuse board, it's like a shoe box, isn't it? It's that type of box, you lift it open,
So,
if you've got a lot of fuse boards on a job, it's a lot of cardboard waste that you've got to recycle and you've got to manage.
I was that apprentice having to skip it all.
One thing that we already do with our panel boards and distribution boards are we install the incomers. So that's one less box to ship.
Is that so the torque settings correct as well? Because that's an issue sometimes.
We'll install that. We also offer fully populated if the contractor thinks it's going to be a time saving advantage. So we can put all the breakers in place,
right,
which again is less packaging to go to site.
It just makes it more heavier, I suppose, to transport it. I'm guessing that would be
it's quite a common thing though, isn't it?
And to manage on site.
If you went into a wholesaler, you know, of your choice, and you wanted that fully loaded board, and you name your RCBOs or your breakers or whatever, it's really easy, isn't it, to pick up now? And I think it saves a lot of time. I mean, you might have to strip it back out again to put your cables in, but like you say, the packaging's not there. As well, Brendan, what do you think, obviously being as massive as you've just told us with that kind of turnover is absolutely crazy, it's blowing my mind. Yeah, and you've got R&D, you've got everything going on all over the world. How do you get involved in the minutiae with that contractor? Like, you know, is there stuff on your website where they can get technical help? Is there a technical helpline? I wouldn't know personally.
Yeah, we've got, if you contact the office up in Stockport, where we hold £5 million worth of stock, so substantial stock holding. We also have workshops up there for assembling products and so on. If you contact the head office, we've got two people in technical. Which can assist, you know, Andrew from the shows. Andrew's our technical manager. So they're on the end of the phone, no problem at all. Or else you can contact any of us in the field. If you're in a certain area, they can pass your inquiry onto one of myself or some of my colleagues.
Because I think from an installer's point of view, that's really important, isn't it, that you've got a face or a contact, especially technical people, you know, because we're conscious as an organisation when we do shows that we don't just put all our salespeople on our stand. You know, there's technical people there that if they've got a technical question, you can answer. Yeah. And I know Chip do that. Like you say, having worked with Andy, he sits on some of my panels when I'm doing a seminar, and he does stuff about bi-directional or whatever. And very knowledgeable guy that knows his stuff.
I
think that's key, isn't it? Because it's more personable, isn't it, with the people that are fitting your products.
It is, you know, and we're. Compared to some of our competitors, we're quite a small company in the UK, so we are very personalised. Like I speak to most of my colleagues, you know, at least 3 times a week, and we're swapping information and helping each other to pull through things. If they're involved in a large project and there's a consultant on it, which invariably there will be if it's buildings or a commercial. I'll contact a consultant. So we're sort of hitting it from both sides. Yeah.
Communication's key in that, isn't it? Especially on your bigger projects. Like,
and I'm real one for support. I'm not the type of person that could just go in and say, here's a load of boxes. This is what you need. I've no idea what's in them, but I think this is what you need.
Yeah.
I'm more hands-on, you know, let's look at the drawings. Let's look at fault levels, for instance.
Yeah.
See if actually you don't necessarily need 10 KA devices because it's never going to see more than 6.
Yeah.
So we can supply 6 KA devices for you.
I like that.
At a cost saving.
Yeah. Do you provide any like CPD training for our members to get more onto your products so they understand them and know the uses and what they can?
It's something that we're looking at.
Right. Okay.
Andrew, along with myself and Ivan, our managing director, we're looking at, you know, getting CBSE approval for CPDs. We're also looking at a new catalogue. So we've got a marketing chap, Ben Brooker, who started about a month after me. So he's been with the company now for about 4 months. So he's looking at new catalogue, new website, because the website is a little bit you know, rusty, let's say.
I think they're outdated in about 3 months now.
Yeah. So he's updating all that with e-data, so it's all linked into distributors.
So it's got more workflows, user friendly.
So it's definitely moving in the right direction.
No, it sounds like it. I mean, you've already mentioned there, Brendan, I mean, some of the stuff that's going on in industry. I mean, it's such a fast-moving one at the minute, as we mentioned, with renewables and all that. What do you find you've seen since you've maybe experiences you've had elsewhere? What do you find are probably the biggest challenges in the kind of world you live in now? Is it that you might have mentioned it already? Is it trying to put your head above the parapet and break into that UK market, or could it be something completely different?
Yeah, well, I suppose keeping ahead of regulations is a tough one for contractors. You know, because they have changed. I in my experience, I think over the last 4 years, they've changed the most rapidly.
And then changing again in 2026.
With the introduction of AFDD, SPD, bi-directional devices for your generation pair. Things like that. It's keeping ahead of the game is very important, and you know, obviously your members have you to educate them, but a lot of contractors look to people like myself working for companies like Chint to actually educate them on what they should be fitting and where.
They want that comfort blanket of am I doing the right thing? We get a lot of that to our technical helpline of going. They already know the answer sometimes. They just want someone to say, I don't know.
Second opinion, I
think we've all been there.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that either.
No,
because
you know,
you're doing it right. Yeah. You know, so
you well, other people ask, wouldn't you?
Yeah, exactly that. That's what I'm getting at there, you know. Yeah, I don't mind that at all.
You'd rather people ask. And I think, you know, speaking to other manufacturers and obviously yourselves, you know, what we're seeing is, you know, our industry, especially renewables, is very manufacturer-driven. And almost the problem we have as the world we work in is trying to catch up with not only publications, but, you know, even at the very top with what BSN 671, where suddenly, you know, things need to change a lot quicker than back in our day,
when you were
putting stuff in, it was very much power and lighting, and now we're in this world of smart homes, renewables. There's a new product on the market every 5 minutes, and I'm going, we're looking, aren't we, and going, but what's this do? We need to find out about it, you know. So it's exciting, but it's also challenging.
And we're not installing no more, unfortunately, are you? So that's where we need the installers to help us sometimes, because they're installing it, and they probably know a little bit more than us.
You're right, and you get that feedback off our members, and then that needs to filter back to the manufacturers. Like you say, you need to make tweaks in devices for the right reason. And that's what I said at the very beginning, you know, sometimes you need to listen to them to say, well, actually, this is a pain in the backside to install. Can you do this? And that sometimes their little tweaks will really help.
Yeah. And like with these two projects that we've secured now for Barclay Homes, I'll be going to visit site to talk to the installers. Because I haven't, you know, been so young in the company, I haven't experienced installation of the products. So I want to see how the guys install.
You'll be learning, won't you?
Yeah.
And I think you'll get some good feedback on that.
Absolutely.
And then you can take back for yourself what it works.
Like there's little things.
Work.
I was down to Plumstead a couple of weeks ago. It's called Lumbret Square as well. And they wanted to make it a pusher name to sell. Makes sense. But the electrician really liked the fact that our neutral connections are up the sides. They're not beside the incomer.
I noticed that.
So you've got live neutral, then down to the earth.
Little things like that make a massive difference.
So and just everything's some space. Just there.
You know, when these days, you know, you had no space inside an enclosure, you know, whether it be a big triple pole and neutral
board. Well, I remember when the first RCBO came out, and that was quite big, weren't they? Inside a board, and you had no room for your connections at the top.
That's right.
So, the joys with that, obviously, there's a change, obviously.
Yeah, and then you'd always get a phone call. My fridge is working.
I don't miss those.
Just
fit
in an RCD.
We like what we do now, though. That's nothing to all you installers out there. Keep doing what you do.
I suppose looking onwards, you know, Steve touched upon it, like smart technologies, renewable. What interesting products have you got coming out? Well, can you tell us about them?
Absolutely. We've started showing a product. It's called MB2 series smart devices. So we've started showing those about 4 months ago. So we're hoping to be launching maybe mid-25.
And what does that do, Brendan?
So the smart device, so it's an MCB or an RCBO or an RCD. Can be single mod or multiple mods. We have a variety of products. And we've taken the ones that are being used in Asia at the moment as samples, and we're developing those to fit like in B-boards and fit different applications that might be more suitable to the UK. So the device we can extract via either a BMS system or an app on a phone, energy readings directly from the breaker.
Oh wow.
So there's no meter, there's no CT.
So you don't need CTs in that instance?
No. So you just, and you can put them alongside a standard device. So you can have a board with a standard device, and then you say, oh, I need to meter this circuit, I'll put a smart one in.
Yeah.
There's a little Modbus link from all the smart devices to a transmitter. The transmitter can either be linked to Wi-Fi and to your phone via an app, or it can be connected directly into a Modbus BMS system.
That's so cool.
It's energy saving, isn't it? So you could monitor.
You can monitor individual circuits, multiple circuits, anything you want to.
Yeah.
That's a bit of a game changer,
actually. There is a possibility that we wouldn't have to have a split metered board.
Yeah.
Obviously, the commercials need to be right.
Yeah.
If you're filling your board with smart devices, it needs to be commercially viable.
Yeah.
To replace a split meter.
And that's not out yet. That's in sort of.
No, that's in. It's a product. It's a product that I can.
Yeah.
I can show. I've got demo rigs to show at activation.
So trade shows. Members can come have a look at it.
Yeah,
and see
absolutely.
What applications
are.
Really good.
If someone's interested, just contact me and I'll come and visit and show them the demo.
Yeah.
But there's other advantages to other aspects to the product as well. We can remotely switch it on and off.
Okay.
So actually from your phone, an emergency. Like one conversation I had with a contractor who does a lot of fast food restaurants was that at night when the premises is unoccupied, if the freezer goes off.
Yes.
That's a major incident.
Yeah.
And that could be at supermarkets as well.
So with our device, when it trips, you get an alarm as well. So you could see the alarm instantly and go, oh no, you're on holidays in the Maldives or whatever. Mm. If you've got Wi-Fi over there.
Okay. It's how my friend goes on there, can't you?
So you can see that your device has tripped. And then if you know the place is unoccupied and it's safe to try and turn back on because nobody's there, so nobody could get potential electric shock. You can try and switch it back
on. So this would be good for like a maintenance tool, someone on a control person to understand to know to turn it back on or not. Because obviously if there was a fault, you don't want to keep on turning it back on and off.
No,
so
that's it.
Like you said, you're the control persons.
And then by the time someone goes out, they could then it'd be back running, but they could go and check the circuit.
I think this is the way tech's going, isn't it?
I think
stuff like that.
I think we scratched on the future a little bit there, haven't we?
I mean, you could have someone on a maintenance regime that can do that, like you say, from the comfort of their own home and realise there's a problem and then phone someone who's on call and they can go in, but it's instant alarm to say that there's a problem with this particular circuit.
The other example of an application would be a fire alarm to actually switch off devices.
Yeah.
So to make the building safer to enter for the fire brigade. Yeah.
It's an exciting world. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned a little bit earlier, Brendan, but if people want to know more about you, your company and what you do, you say that they can go on the website, have a look.
Yeah, you can go on the website. I'm on LinkedIn, so they can go onto LinkedIn. LinkedIn seems to have become the business social
business
media.
Facebook,
definitely.
I'm sick of seeing myself on there. And people tell me they're sick of me as well, so it's fine.
So anybody can feel free to contact me.
On there,
As well, I'll just mention that we're expanding our sales team.
Okay.
So we're actually recruiting for Scotland and Northern Ireland. And the northwest of England. So if anybody's interested in
getting in touch,
if any members are interested, reach out to you on LinkedIn, drop me a message and take it from there.
We can have an expert here that's
working in this side of the world.
As electricians, there's so many avenues you can go into. I'm sure most of us sitting around this table now would never have thought we'd be sitting where we're sitting as
that's
an installer.
So,
it's something you can consider out there.
Yeah. Once you signed up as a spider, you think this is me for life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But
there's so many avenues.
So many different avenues. Well, Brendan, it's been really good talking to you and really interesting to find out a little bit more about Chintz. I've definitely learned a lot more about what you do, and you blow my mind on how massive they are, really, from a global point of view. So, yeah, best of luck with the UK, and I'm sure you'll get some decent salespeople and, like you say, get that prominence back in the UK. And
great.
I think the only way is up for you guys, what I say. Yeah.
Well, people always say to me, like, oh, you left Hager? And I'm like, well, yeah, but this is why I left Hager.
Yeah.
Fresh challenge. Fresh challenge, yeah.
Yeah, it's just touching. Well, thanks for coming in and being on the podcast. And
no, thank you very much.
It's been really good. Yeah. Andrew, do you want to close us out? Yeah. I always forget the live at the end.
So I suppose that wraps up the episode for today. A massive thanks for Brendan for coming in. We hope you've enjoyed it. Please subscribe to the podcast. Leave a review. Until next time. Stay safe, stay grounded, and keep that current flowing.
Yes, thanks everyone.
Cheers.